Hari Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasavi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Chapter 5, the discussion of the Paravastha forms. Chapter summary. The analysis of the divisions of Godhead presented so far by Srila Rupa Goswami establishes that Krishna is the original form of the Supreme and the fountainhead of all incarnations. Moreover, the husband of Goddess Sri and all other forms of God are his Vilas, Svamsa, and Avesha expansions. This conclusion is unacceptable to some, like the followers of the teacher of Vishvakshena, who say instead that Krishna is an expansion of either Naranarayana or Vamanadeva. The purpose of this chapter is to prove how Krishna is nothing less than the one and only Swayam Rupa. Rupa Goswami begins by citing the Purva Paksha and its supporting evidence that Krishna is the expansion of Naranarayana or Vamana. A follower of the opinions of Vishvakshena might be confused by scriptural statements such as these. Therefore, Rupa Goswami gives the real meaning here. Text 1. Some say that Krishna is an avatar of the brother of Nara, or that he is an avatar of Vamana. He appears in this way to those who do not know the conclusions of the scriptures. The author has shown that Krishna is the Swayam Rupa and Narayana, and others are his Vilas forms. However, adherents of Vishnu cannot tolerate this and present arguments against it. The author presents and defeats these arguments. Some say that Krishna is an avatar of the brother of Nara, the avatar of the lord of Badari, Narayana. And others say is the avatar of Vamana. For those who do not correctly analyze the scriptures and take a superficial meaning, Krishna appears to be an avatar of Vishnu forms. Those who are intelligent accept Krishna as the primary form. Was there or wasn't there?
We didn't find it.
No?
Hmm.
Who is Vishvaksena?
You know who Vishvakshena is?
Chief commander of...
You mean Vishvakshena, meaning the assistant of Narayan. Oh, okay, well then. He's someone who could complain. Vishvakshena is one of the eternal associates of Narayana. So when you're doing the worship of Narayan, then, you know, if you're doing proper worship, then after, whenever the Lord changes asanas, then... You receive him at the asan, and then you worship in the asan before actually doing the particular uniqueness of the asan. Does this make sense? It means he comes and sits. There's the reception of the Lord. So you have the asana swagatam apadyamargyam achmaniyam madhuparka punarachman. So that's the mantra asan. So that's finished. Now he'll move to the snanasana. That's the next asana. That's where he'll take his bath. But on doing that, you'll receive him with Padyamargyam Achmaniyam. And then you'll worship him with Gandhapushpa Dukdeep Naivedya. Right? Because he's come to that asana. Then you'll start the bath. Right? Then when he moves to the Alankar asana, you'll do the same thing again. Right? So each asana, it's very, very formal, the Vaikuntha worship. So for us, as we recognize the technical differences between the asanas, but we don't so much recognize them that we do all this puja in between. Yeah. You know, we know that there's a difference, so that you know what's going on. So now, when he changes the asana, when you take off all the items of worship of the previous asana, they're supposed to be given to Vishvakshena. Right? So that means he always is with the Lord. So just like Garuda and Hanuman, so Vishvakshena even more. Does that make sense? So it's kind of like after Lakshmi, there's Vishvakshena. So if this is that Vishvakshena, then it's natural if he makes some comments. But we're not going to complain that he's made the comments. But it doesn't mean that the Acharya is not going to present. Does that make sense? So in other words, this is not some smarta somewhere. This is the card-carrying, flag-waving Vaikuntha man. like that. Yataskande. And the interesting point is that the one who establishes Vraja Bhakti and Swayam Krishna, that person, that who does that, is then making the arguments against that person from Vaikuntha who does the same thing. so you're basically talking about the same position. Because after Radharani, then you have Rupa. Yes. Right? And after Lakshmi, you have Vishvakshena.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. But in here, it's a no, what do you call it? It's a no contest.
No.
Maharaj?
Yes.
When there's talk of these Paravasta forms, does that mean the combination of the Swayam Prakash and the Vaibhav Prakash?
It just means the all who are that full. So in that list, it'll be everything above Vilas and Swamsa. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yataskande. Okay. Dharma putrao harer amshao nara narayana bhidhao. Chandra vamsa anu prapya jatu krishnar junav abhao. Skanda Purana says, the portions of the Lord Nara Narayana, sons of King Dharma, accepted birth of the dynasty of the moon and became Krishna and Arjuna. Here, the misinterpreted scriptural statement for Krishna being the expansion of Vishnu are given. The meaning of the statement is clear. However, the meaning can be taken in another way. Krishna and Arjuna are the subjects of the sentence, and Naranarayan are the objects. Thus, the meaning is Krishna and Arjuna, united with the forms of Naranarayan, then appeared on earth through the moon dynasty. Yes?
There's a footnote. There's
a footnote. This Lagu Bhagavatam Rita Part 2. Oh, that's not a quote. That's a 30. Oh, okay. Okay, 30. Since the dual forms ending in au can be either subject or object case, to distinguish the subject from the object, we need to consider another logical and contextual factors. It is thus makes the most sense in the light of the Bhagavatam's presentation to take prapya as meaning accepting within themselves. Hence the sentence would mean, then Krishna and Arjuna took birth in the Chandravamsa. Their partial expansions, Narada and Narayana rishis entered into them to take part in their pastime. So in other words, they're generally taking it as opposite of what how we do. So that's why the scriptures give it in this way, because then those from Vaikuntha are satisfied, and those from Goloka then know the actual meaning. Right? Because then Naranarayan appear within, just as I already said before, is like when Swayam Krishna comes as Lord Chaitanya, then the Yuga avatar, then who's the Jiva, then appears within him. So it's already taken care of. And Prabhupada says many times is all the different avatars are all present within Krishna. Mm. So depending upon if he's doing the Braj pastimes, then he does them himself. Mm. But if there's anything outside of that, then that's taken care of by his expansions. Like he kills the demons, the Vasudev expansion takes care of killing the demons. Like that. But it happens in the pastime, but Krishna's Vasudev, because the point is The Lord reciprocates with the devotee. And so the demons don't have a devotional mood, so he can't reciprocate with them as Braja Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You have to reciprocate with them as God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Therefore, Vasudev. It's the same person, it's just that's all that's manifested that demon. Right? In other words, Braja Krishna does not
he's the full potency. You don't need the full potency to kill the demon. Right? Because the full mood and everything like that. But because his associates are there, you know, Krishna's associates are there in Vrindavan. Therefore, as Braja Krishna, he's reciprocating with them. But the demon actual being dealt with is dealt with by Krishna in the mood of Vasudeva. Does that make sense? So Braja Krishna doesn't actually kill them, because Braja Krishna means Ashray and Vishray. So, because the demon, his mood, or he's the ashray of inimical feelings, then that will be taken care of by Krishna's Vishay, his Vasudeva. But the cowherd boys who are watching, that there have the ashray of serving Braja Krishna as their friend, so he's reciprocating with them in that way. Does that make sense? So both things are happening at once, because it's a matter of the mood, because that's what's very important. Otherwise, without that, then the question comes up, well, what's the problem with Krishna with the other gopis? But the point is Krishna with the other gopis never has to manifest his full potency as Braja Krishna. Right? What you'll see with Radharani, you won't see with another gopi. Right? So even though it's Vrindavan, you still don't see the full. Right? Does that make sense? So in that way, there's a difference in the mood between Nanda Nandana or Jashoda Nanda and Gopi Janavallabha. Right? It's natural. Any person, depending upon who they're with, they're going to give those kind of points. You know, just like the person's there with his really close, intimate friend, and they bump into somebody that you have to be very, very formal with. And so if there's ever a chance in that formality that you could sneak in something, like the phone rings and the former guy picks up the phone, so there's a distraction for a minute, he'll turn and smile and make a joke with his friend. You know, but then as soon as that's, then they go back to the formal mood and all that. Right? So the friend's in a formal mood. So for us, we have to do it all. Krishna can do it, will do them, can do that himself, but at the same time as those separate moods also have their eternal position. So Vasudeva has an eternal position. Right? Does that make sense? You know, like if it's friendship, if he's with one of the cowherd boys, right? And then there's something formal, then he'll take on that formal mood, Krishna, and his friend will take on the formal mood. So you'll find those formal moods in Vaikuntha or in Dwarka. Mm-hmm. In other forms. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Like Sri Dhamma will become Garuda. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yes. So we're dealing with you know, very subtle things. So then you can understand that Krishna being with anybody else in Radharani, that doesn't have the same flavor. That's why we're not interested. Yeah. Yes. So for us, it's good enough to be in Vrindavan. No, we have very specific. Mm-hmm. Right? And if you want to see that form, then you have to serve Rupa. Because yes. He's Radharani's maidservant, the head maidservant. So you follow in the line of Rupa Goswami, then you will see that Braja Krishna. So that's what's not been given before. Otherwise, Krishna and Vrindavan with Radharani, you know, spontaneous devotional service, conjugal rasa, that's Nimbarka. Has already revealed that, you know, in a more developed, you know, one and different. So you have both these aspects, right? But the simultaneous, that's only been given, you know, it comes to us in Rupa Goswami. Mm-hmm. So that's a uniqueness, that's a specialness. Mm-hmm. So that's what you're only going to get. So that's why we're very specific about the mood. So when someone's mood is wrong, that will get the strongest response. In the modern context, if something external goes wrong, you get the strongest response. So that's why I was saying this morning. Actually, externally, we're not really that worried. It's the mood that we're worried about. So what's the mood? Why someone's not following tradition? That's the thing that we worry about. Not that they're not following tradition. That's not the big point for us. You know, the situation, they don't know, this, that. That doesn't matter to us. The problem is the attitude because that's going to decide where you situate yourself in the cosmic creation. Does that make sense? Yes.
I say fault finding is one thing, is the mood is wrong, but it's also a tendency to see the externals rather than the mood in others? Or am I just making stuff up now?
Not necessarily. I mean, tendency is it'll be on external, something mundane, because that's the problem.
Pointing
if
out.
Even on the spiritual platform, it's not a big deal, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes the point, is that there are other gopis who are following other, who are the assistants of other gopis. Mm-hmm. So they're in different camps, they're in different groups.
Yeah.
And for us, that's fine. You know, anybody, you know, it's a free cosmos. You can do whatever you like, you know. But the point is he makes the point, but we won't do that. You know, mm-hmm. We just don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. You know, so if you're talking about the tattva, the positions of the shaktis and everything like that, then you see the acharyas work Chandravali into the program because she is one of the main shaktis.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're doing like the Vastu Mandala and that's being replaced by all the associates, she's there. But when you go into rasa, then, you know, the name isn't even brought up.
Mm-hmm.
Because the mood is different.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's the whole point. So the point is by tattva, Krishna is every Vishnu expansion, no matter how a portion, because we see is Balaram, who's exactly the same. Mood's different, but same amount of potency. Mahanarayan is 60 qualities in full. The four qualities he doesn't manifest. Then, Mahavishnu is an expansion of him. And so, he doesn't have the same potency. He doesn't manifest the same. Then you have Garbhodaksha, who only has to manage one universe, not all the universes. So it's going to be less again. Then expanding from him is coming, let's say, the Manvantara avatara, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then from the Manvantara avatara is expanding the Yuga avatara, right? And in Kali Yuga, that's a Navesha, it's a Jiva. So, therefore, how, just this very small, but the point is still all Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't make that much distinction. But in mood, then that will be greatly different.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But in principle, there's no difference.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thus, the meaning is Krishna and Arjuna united with the forms of Narayan, then appeared on earth through the Moon Dynasty. That is because when Krishna appears, all of his amsas enter him and appear with him. And so it means who united with means Narayan entered into Krishna and Arjuna, not that they united, not the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
In the fourth canto, it is said that Narayan Rishi, who is a partial expansion of Kirodakshai, has now appeared on earth in the dynasties of Yadu and Kuru in the forms of Krishna and Arjuna, respectively, to mitigate the burdens of the world. Now here it's being brought out. What was the first? Oh, they were just saying Narayan Rishi. But they've come. Now they're saying that Narayan is expanding from Kirodakshai, so they're trying to take it back. So they're giving these to show that, see, they're not the swan, they're not the original. Because they'll say Krishna and Vaikuntha is the original form.
Yes.
Right? You know, they'll use the same term. I think they use the same Parvasta term. The real meaning is as follows. Nara and Narayana at the end of the Dwapara enter into Krishna and Arjuna. Narayana entered Krishna and Nara entered Arjuna. Text 4. A supporting statement is found in the 10th canto. After fully worshipping the great sage of the demigods according to Vedic injunctions, Lord Krishna, who is himself the original sage, Narayana, the friend of Nara, conversed with Narada, and the Lord's measured speech was as sweet as nectar. Finally, the Lord asked Narada, "What may we do for you, our Lord and Master?" Srimad Bhagavatam 10:69-16. The Bhagavatam supports this. Krishna, who is called Narayana because he is the shelter of all principles and elements, and who is called the ancient sage because he gave teachings to Brahma at the beginning of the Kalpa, and is called Anara Shakti because he performed pastimes with humans, and who is called Deva because he performs pastimes as a Kshatriya. After worshipping Narada, according to the rules, he spoke to him. Text 5. Indra speaks in the Harivamsa of Krishna being an avatar of Vamanadeva. O sage, I gave the share of sacrifice previously to Vishnu, O Narada. Now I am seeing Krishna as my younger brother, Vamana. Harivamsa 2.70.34. Having shown the arguments for Krishna being a portion of Narayana, now the author gives a quotation to show that Krishna is a portion of Vamana. Right, because he's giving now all the arguments that Vishvakshena will bring up. Because he'll speak from Shastra also. This is a statement of Indra concerning the Parijata incident. I have given that portion of sacrifice made by me, Indra, for Vishnu to Krishna as a special favor I have given. I do not hate him, even though he has acted against me. Out of prema, I see Krishna as Vamana, as a younger brother, because the Parijata is the heavenly tree. I should not give it to him because he resides on the earthly planet. Footnote 31. The Vedic sacrifice known as Aindra was first performed by Indra himself. Because Krishna became his younger brother in the form of Vamanadeva, Indra always feels affectionate to him, even when there is cause for quarrel, as in the situation Indra is addressing in this verse. Krishna is trying to take the heavenly Parijata tree to Dwarka. The portion of oblations which Indra previously offered in the name of Lord Vishnu, he now offers to Vamana, whom he identifies with Krishna. But because it is forbidden for the Parijata flower to be brought down to the earth, Indra feels obliged to refuse Krishna's request and oppose any attempt to take the tree by force. Less intelligent persons take this statement as indicating that Krishna is an expansion of Vamana, but actually Indra does not say which of the two, Krishna and Vamana, he considers the original. Right? He's not saying that they'll take it that way. Okay, text 6. It is contrary to say that Krishna is the expansion of Narayana and Vamana. Actually, it has already been stated that Narayana and Vamana are expansions of Krishna, and Krishna is in a supreme position. This verse refutes the arguments. Why is Krishna not the avatar of Narayana or Vamana? It has been stated that they are avatars of Krishna. Ete Chamsha Kalapumsa shows that Narayana and Vamana are portions of Krishna. This is also seen in Harivamsa. This verse shows why they are amsas of Krishna. Tatvam means position as amsas. Text A. Thus Narada said, previously Aditi did penance to worship Vishnu. Vishnu was very satisfied and offered her a boon. O Indra, she requested to have a son like the Lord. Vishnu said, there is no one on earth who is equal to me. I will become your son, Vamana, as an amsha or part. The statement of Narada being stronger than the previous statement of Indra defeats the truth of the previous statement that Krishna is the expansion of Vamana. The supreme position, paravasta of Krishna, will be explained later. That supreme position and perfect position is glorified in the scriptures. Thus, because Krishna is paravasta, it is clearly seen that Krishna being an amsa of Narayana or Vamana is contradictory. But cannot Krishna be an amsa of the amsa of Narayana? Because Krishna is paravasta, it is contradictory to say that he is an amsa of Narayana or Vamana. Right, so that would be the question. Right? Huh? Yes.
What's the idea of trying to establish who is supreme?
In the spiritual world, it's not a problem because it's a matter of taste. Like Murari Gupta, then being an incarnation of Hanuman, then even though he's exposed to the worship of Radha and Krishna, and he doesn't have a problem with it, still his point is that Sita and Ram are supreme for him. So that in his mind that Sita and Ram expand and do pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Or even if Krishna is original, it doesn't matter. He just has the taste for worshipping Krishna, worshipping the Lord as Rama and Sita. So they don't really have a problem over there. It'll be here where there's always the tendency that you want to deal with the top. So whatever you think is the top. So unless you understand how Krishna is the Supreme, your origin, then there may be a tendency to think it doesn't matter. You know, as long as you get to the spiritual world, who cares? But then, yes, then if that's the mood, then you will get to Vaikuntha. You will get into Braj with that mood. Braj means it's very specific. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's just, you know, just like Lakshmi. She's doing penances to get into Braj, but she never does. Right? Because she's not going to give up, you know, that element of majesty. On the first statement, there is this explanatory verse. Then Krishna and Arjuna, merging the identities of Nara and Narayan in themselves, appeared in the Moon Dynasty. Nara and Narayan became one with Krishna and Arjuna because there should be no false or contradiction in the Puranas. The alternative meaning is more suitable because the one deals with both. It establishes both. The other one only establishes one, not the other. But this is, you know, it takes care of everything. The second verse can be explained as follows. Nara and Narayan, the expansions of Vishnu, entered Krishna and Arjuna at the end of Dwapara Yuga. The meaning was given in a previous commentary. Right, so either Krishna and Arjuna merged them into themselves, or because they're the original, or the others merged into them because they're the original. You know, so it gets both sides. It sounds like the same, but the one is that Krishna merges them, the other is the other merges into them. Mm. But in either case, it works out. The third verse can be explained as follows. He who is the first sage because he teaches even Brahma, and who is the shelter of the three Purushavatars, Narayana, who personally helps the men of this material world, praised and worshipped Narada. Though Krishna is the guru of Narada, as his portion, Narayana Rishi, he worshipped Narada as part of his conduct as a Kshatriya. According to Gopal Tapani Upanishad, at the beginning of the Kalpa, Krishna taught Brahma. Thus Krishna is called the ancient sage. The word Nara, in the highest sense, means the Purusha avatars. The shelter, Arayana, of the three Purushas, Nara, is called Narayana. This is explained in the Brahma Samhita. Thus Krishna is called Narayana. He is called Nara Shaka because he enjoys pastimes with the humans. Because he imitates the actions of humans, he worships Narada. Though as Badarisha, he is the guru of Narada, here he worships Narada. Right? So here is taking the point of that because Nara Narayan has merged into him, he's taking that mood when he's dealing with Narada, rather than that he's actually, Narada's Param Guru. Mm-hmm. Right, but he's taking the mood of Nara, and so in that way, then playing the human pastime, then he is, it goes very nicely. Does that make sense? Just like we were saying before, he kills the demons in his Vasudeva feature, so therefore he is respecting and worshiping Narada in his Narayana feature. The fourth verse is explained as follows. Indra, not being intelligent, said these words out of envy. Thus Krishna never takes the position of being an avatar of these forms. The Kena Upanishad says that Indra, Agni, and Vayu know about Brahman. So why was Indra ignorant in this case? His knowledge became covered for the purpose of the Lord's pastime. He became envious of Krishna's superior position. Thus, in conclusion, Krishna never becomes the Amsa of Narayana or Vamana. So he just, because, you know, he's not dealt with properly, so you're not supposed to appear in those places where you're not dealt with properly. And it's just, that's the rule of Manu, and Krishna likes to follow the rules for the humans, so therefore he's doing it. Now there will be a discussion of the Paravastu forms. The Padma Purana says, right, so now we've established Krishna's position. Right, so then that's there. And you'll see, you come across it many times when you're talking, where sometimes Indian scholars, they'll bring this point up. So then you have something to say about it.
Text 16. Now there will be a discussion of the Paravasta forms. The Padma Purana says, the six qualities are fully manifest in Nrisinga, Rama, and Krishna. They are thus considered Paravasta. The relation between the two other two, Nrisinga and Rama, and Krishna is like lamps lit from the lamp of full six powers manifest in Krishna. Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda 2.26, 42. It has been explained that it is contradictory to say that Krishna is an Amsa of Narayana or Vamana, since he is Paravasta. Paravasta is now described. This means that Krishna has all six qualities of the Lord in full. Among the three, successively, Nrisinga, then Rama, and finally Krishna, manifest more powers. The example is given to conceive of their relationship and powers.
And so it's just showing how much power they manifest. So Krishna will manifest the most, then Ram the next, Nrisinga the next. Though they have full power, it's just how much they show. Like you generally don't hear of Nrisinga playing the flute.
What are those six qualities?
This would be the Agni Bhagavan, you know, the beauty, knowledge, power,
like that.
I don't think it's referring to the Kalyana Gunas here. But even if it is, they're in full.
So Nrisinga, text 17-19. Bhavarta Deepika says, I offer respects to the Lord who gives joy to the heart of Prahlada, who destroys ignorance in the devotee, who is effulgent like the autumn moon, and possesses the head of a lion. Right, so effulgent like the autumn moon means it's very bright, at the same time it's very pleasant. You know, to the devotee, that he's very, you know, pleasant, very beautiful. Like that. And possesses the head of a lion. I worship Nrisinga, in whose mouth resides all eloquence, on whose chest resides Lakshmi, and in whose heart resides knowledge. Narada described to Yudhishthira the anger of Nrisinga, who was born from the pillar, and astonished Brahma, when he began roaring loudly. Because in the Nrisinga pastime is Narada speaking to Yudhishthira in the Bhagavatam. Bhavarta Deepika 111, 1087, 1. That means it's taken from 2, or this is mentioned in both places?
I think both places.
So Bhavarta Deepika is whose commentary?
Sridhar
Swami's commentary.
Yeah.
When we speak about Lakshmi Nrisinga Dev and Lakshmi Narayana, is it the same Lakshmi?
It'll be according to the mood of the Lord. So Nrisinga, he's manifesting more potency because he is Paravasta.
Yes.
So that means your Lakshmi will be on that level. Right? And
yes.
Then when you're dealing with Narayan, then she'll be on that level.
Yes.
So it's just a matter of how much. In other words, how much he manifests is how much she manifests, because it matches.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's all. You know, it's just like you see Prithu. He is an Avesha of the Lord. So, but he has his consort. So, in other words, his consort is empowered with those elements of Lakshmi that match the empowerment of Prithu.
Okay.
You know, so they're seen as the Lord and Lakshmi. But they're empowered incarnations rather than being Vishnu Tattva.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's always going to match. It's always going to balance. That's why there's the principle in Manu that a marriage should be of equal nature.
Yes.
Like that. Because whatever the one can deal, the other one has a part that matches that.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're not equal, then one will manifest some moods or things,
yes,
character,
yes,
but the other can't match. So that's always going to be a weakness.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yeah. So let's see. Now, the author now describes separately the Paravasta of each, beginning with Nrisinga. Parindra means a lion. Vagisha means eloquent. Samvit means the power of all knowledge. The anger of Nrisimha is described to Yudhishthira by Narada. These are from Sridhar Swami's commentary. Yes.
Superior position.
Sorry.
A Paravasta?
Yes.
It means superior position, the highest.
The highest position.
Yeah.
Okay. Seventh canto says, the hair on Nrisimha's head shook the clouds and scattered them here and there. His glaring eyes stole the effulgence of the luminaries in the sky, and his breathing agitated the seas and oceans. Because of his roaring, all the elephants in the world began to cry in fear, not just the ones that happened to be hanging around there, or the whole world. Right? Airplanes were thrown into outer space, and the upper planetary system by the hair on Nrisimhadeva's head. And so it's just as he moves his head, then all the airplanes that move just have to go higher. Because of the pressure of the Lord's lotus feet, the earth appeared to slip from its position, and all the hills and mountains sprang up due to his intolerable force. Because of the Lord's bodily effulgence, both the sky in all directions diminished in their natural illumination. 7, 8, 32, 33. Nrisimha's anger at the demon described here. He broke the agitated clouds with his mane. By his glance, the planets became bereft of effulgence. The elephants of the directions cried in fear. And the elephants of the directions are the ones that are holding up the earth. They're big. Right? We're not talking about little elephants. We're talking about big elephants here. Yeah. The sky was filled with airplanes strewn about by his mane. By the pressure of his foot, the earth moved from its orbit. Right? Mountains and hills sprang up and got bigger. Right? Like that. Text 22. Though Nrisimha is fierce, he is gentle with his devotees, just as a lioness is friendly to her cubs, but ferocious with others. Bhavarta Deepika 791. But it will be difficult to serve Nrisimha if he is so ferocious. This verse answers, though ferocious, he is cool as the moon for his devotees. Okay, so somebody can be cool. Cool as the moon, a cucumber. I think Sridhar Swami's deity is Nrisimhadeva.
Right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think he worships Nrisimhadeva. Mm. 23. The powers and abundance of Nrisimha's great bliss are revealed in the Nrisimha Tapani Upanishad. If Nrisimha is Paravasta, then should he not be glorified? This verse answers. The abode of Nrisimha, the Supreme Lord, is in Janaloka. He is ever glorified in Vaikuntha, beyond the material world. Ramachandra. Rama is endowed with unlimited sweetness, much more sweetness than Nrisimha. He displays the six qualities in abundance. Because Nrisimhadeva doesn't necessarily show so much, let's say, beauty, or these things. It's not that he's not attractive, but it's just Ramachandra shows more of that. Mm-hmm. So he shows a much more great like that. We don't hear about the wealth of Nrisimhadeva. We hear about the power of Nrisimhadeva, not necessarily the wealth.
Yes.
But now, then Rama, then they'll need these other aspects.
Yes.
This verse defines Rama's paravasta condition. Nrisimha displays abundant power, prabhava bhuma, while Rama displays abundant sweetness, madhurya bhuma. It is said in the Padma Purana, I worship the son of Raghu, the lord of all beings, who broke the bow of Shiva, and who is the moon of joy in Sita's heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Why would sweetness be described as the quality of Raghu? So that he's not sweet,
Because the dealings, all the dealings with the devotees, everything is sweet. But it's sweet being sweet according to the rules.
Because usually we call sweet Krishna.
That's what we'll get to there. That's more sweet.
Okay.
Right? Does that make sense? Like you have the, you know, let's say, you know, you have a cake or something like that. Then you have, you know, the Bengali sweets. Right? Or more sweet. Yeah. And nowadays they're toned down. As I said in that 100-year-old cookbook, the proportion is 1 liter of milk, 250 grams sugar. Nowadays people use like 100 grams. But I think that may also be because the milk also does not. Because when I came to India, you would test the milk by, what do you say? You could make it in, take a liter of milk, make it into cheese, you get 250 grams. Mm-hmm. And that was then.
Yes.
Now, you know. And but now I think you get, I forget what's the amount that people think it's okay. But it's not even 200. I think it's 150.
Yeah. 150 is okay.
Yeah. But 30 years ago, it had to be 250.
Wow.
Otherwise, he just, you know, gave it back to the guy and said, forget it. So they'd bring this huge amount of milk. You'd take out a liter, boil it, make it into cheese right there if you thought there was water. And then you'd tell him to leave. You know, didn't come out. It was okay, then you took it. You know, it was quite standard. So 150, so that means it's, you know, almost half. So that means you'd have to put, how do you say, you know, you couldn't put 250. You'd have to put, 150 like that. I mean, it's basic. I guess it's by how much paneer is there. So, and some of them, most of them, is less than that. So, mm-hmm. So I guess it works out. Mm-hmm. But it's still.
What influences how much cheese is produced? It's like the happiness of the cows.
That's probably also the happiness of the what do you call it? The gauche. Like I used to say, I thought it was always funny. You're going over to Navadvip. You don't have these monster boats like now. You have those little dinky boats, you know, at the hand. And so you're right there. The water is just, you can just touch the water. You don't even have to lean. It's just right there. So the Goshas, when they're taking their milk to Navadvip, they'd have these big pots of water. And then because you're going, once they get to the Ganga, once they leave the Jalungi, then they would take their cup and pour this small, just take out a very small amount. Yeah. You know, like 50 mls or something, you know, or less, you know, and pour that into the Ganga, you know, as an offering. Mm-hmm. And then they would fill the cup with water and then pour it back into their pot. You know, in other words, they put some, so now they put some. You know, so it's very religious. And those were, they used to use seers, which were 900 mls. They don't use them anymore. But before it was a, they'd use those. Yeah. So they put in like 50 but put back 900, you know, so like that. So the more religious and the more happy, you know, the more water, you know. So.
The less cheese.
Hmm?
The less cheese.
Yes, like that. Okay. Ramarchana Chandrika describes his birth. Rama appeared with indescribable glory, possessing unprecedented powers, qualities and form, like the fire from the pure kindling stick of Ayodhya for burning the demons. On the ninth lunar day, when the five planets were exalted and the moon was conjoined with Jupiter, in the ascendant of Cancer, in the constellation Purnarvasu, the sun was in Aries. This gives the correct information about Rama's birth, with principal glory being described, being indescribable because of most astonishing powers. But he had five planets were exalted. Qualities, okay. He was born because of astonishing powers, qualities, and form. He was born in pure Ayodhya, which was like a pure stick for producing fire for sacrifice. He appeared for burning up the firewood in the form of all the demons. Palasha means eater of flesh or a Rakshasa. He was born in the ninth titi of the waxing moon during the Chaitra month. The sun, Mars, Jupiter, Venus, and Saturn are exalted respectively in Aries, Capricorn, Cancer, Pisces, and Libra. Jupiter was in the ascendant with the moon. Sun was in the 10th degree of Aries. Mars was in the 3rd degree of Capricorn. Jupiter was in the 28th degree of Cancer. Venus was in the 27th degree of Pisces. And Saturn was in the 20th degree of Libra. So this is the point when they'd be the most powerful, the most exalted. Because even if it's within the house, it's exalted. It's what degree, depending on what, you know, where it is in the house. 29. He is described in the 11th canto. O Mahapurusha, I worship your lotus feet. You gave up the association of the goddess of fortune and all her opulence, which is most difficult to renounce and is hankered after even by the great demigods. Being the most faithful follower of the path of religion, you thus left for the forest in obedience of the order of your father and pursued an illusory golden deer created by the trick of Ravana, which was desired by Sita. Karabhajana offers respects to Rama. O Rama, I offer respects to your lotus feet, which give up the goddess of wealth, who is sought by the devas but is hard to attain, and went to the forest on the order of your father, and pursued a golden deer desired by Sita. O King Nimi, fixed in Dharma, Dharmishta. So he gave up that position of opulence and then went to the forest. So he was going to the forest because his idea was Sita wouldn't go. So therefore he gave up that whole concept. Sita went with him though. It wasn't like, okay, Sita, we're going to the forest. No, he was going to go alone. Because his idea was Sita should stay back in the palace. Why she should have to go to the forest. And so he was planning just to go alone. But then she went and Lakshman went. In the 9th canto it is said, Lord Ramachandra's reputation for having killed Ravana with showers of arrows at the request of the demigods, and for having built a bridge over the ocean does not constitute the factual glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra, whose spiritual body is always engaged in various pastimes. Lord Ramachandra has no equal or superior, and therefore he had no need to take help from the monkeys to gain victory over Ravana. Srimad Bhagavatam 9.11.20. Sukha speaks this verse. He, Lord Rama, built a bridge over the water and killed demons with his weapons. Though these acts are described with amazement by poets, they are not actually a praise of Ram. The reason is given. His power is unequaled. Does such a person need help from the monkeys for killing the enemies? Right? Because otherwise, it's amazing that he went just with, like you're going to go to battle, right? So you can imagine, you know, you show up. You know, one comes there with all their army and all their men and everything, and the other side shows up with a bunch of monkeys. You know, they probably really think that is strange, you know. Like that. So it's not not actually the point. The point is that it's just his pastimes. It's out of his affection and everything that he does is because the monkeys want to help, so therefore they come along. Like that.
Okay. Yes. It indicates that he's reciprocating with everyone.
Yes.
From a human or monkey or.
Yes. Because he could kill him himself. In fact, just his external energy can kill him herself. Right? Because it's not said that Ravana, you know, Well, actually, the demigods couldn't take care, so they would have to be specially empowered, because demigods couldn't take care of, like, Moishasur and others that Devi killed, but they had to give all their powers like that. But that, you know, it's a pastime. The point is their powers are coming through her anyway.
Yes.
You know, so it's just, you know, it's just some fun. Yeah. Like that. So she could take care. So it's just his desire, his energies will take care of it. Mm-hmm. But he, you know, comes to perform his pastimes.
Mm-hmm. But Mr. Maharaj, it seems that his main activity is to reciprocate his devotee.
That's the whole point. That's why it always mentioned he comes to destroy the demons and this and that, establish Dharma. But the actual point that keeps going is to reciprocate with the devotees. So Krishna comes for that reason. But in doing that, then he does all these other things. Because how does he establish Dharma? Let's say, okay, he killed all the demons, right? So now you do that in an 18-day war that all the Kshatriyas of the world are present at. Mm-hmm. And they're wiped out down to the man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's kind of quite amazing. anybody.
Yeah.
You don't have any wars that are, you know, that big, generally. You know, I've heard of China generally has the biggest, or, you know, a revolution, but it goes over many, many, many years, you know, sometimes decades. And I think there's one of theirs, quite old one, that's like 60 or 70 million people, you know. And then we have, you know, our Georgian friend up north, and, you know, officially he killed 30 million. But then unofficially, then it could be as high as 50, 70, some say 100. But the point is there's no 640 million. And not in 18 days. You know? Even the plague didn't do that. You know? Yeah. Like that. Generally, you have to go into sci-fis to get that kind of result. Yes. You know? So, you know, it's very special. So it attracts the mind, and it's so special and unique. But that's not it's not the killing the demons. It's doing it in such a way that's attractive for the devotees. Yes. So he does both at once. He's doing it to please the devotees, but at the same time, it gets rid of the demons. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So that's the whole element, that it's Krishna. That's what's interesting for Krishna. Mm-hmm. Like that. So that's the thing. So if you catch that, then you've actually understood something very important. Mm-hmm. Like that. Yes.
Is that the relationship with the devotee? Is that why the Shingadev is in this parakat category rather than Varaha, or more specifically Vamadev? Because he manifested strength, beauty, renunciation. Why? What puts Nrisingadev above his relationship with Balaram?
Could be that one aspect, but another is that I'm not sure if we'll get into it here, but Nrisinga is there in Goloka, so he has a presence in Goloka, though not so much of a manifestation. So you see that here. So there's an aspect, there's a higher aspect there. But Vamana of the Vishnu Murtis then is displaying that element of attractiveness, you know, very much more than you see other forms do. But I think it goes back to, because in other words, the Goloka deities, they're the Paravasta, like that. They're the ones that are
Ramana.
I'm not sure. I mean, Ayodhya's, it's part of that scene, you know, because then from Dwarka expands, from what I understand, Vaikuntha. So it appears that this element here of Ramachandra's expanded before that. So how I got the idea is part of the Swetadweep kind of scene. So the Swetadweep scene, from what I understand, Ramachandra's there, say Lord Chaitanya, you know, and then I guess maybe Nrisinga is part of that scene, I'm not sure. But it mentions the Brahma Samhita about Nrisingadev being there in Goloka, like that. There's some mood, so, you know, I'm not exactly sure. Is that he'll give more later, or?
Not so much.
Okay. Maybe that'll come up when we get to this Brahma Samhita. Yeah. Though these actions are described with amazement by poets, they are not actually a praise of Rama. The reason is given: his power is unequaled. Does such a person need help from the monkeys for killing the enemies? No. Thus, taking the help of Sugriva and others was only a pastime. The reason for such a statement is given. He assumed a body for pastimes at the request of the devatas, such as Brahma. He appeared at the request of the devatas. Lord Ramachandra's spotless name and fame, which vanquish all sinful reactions, are celebrated in all directions, like the ornamental cloth of the victorious elephant that conquers all directions. Great saintly persons like Markandeya Rishi still glorify his characteristics in the assemblies of great emperors like Maharaj Yudhishthira. Similarly, all the saintly kings and all the demigods, including Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, worship the Lord by bowing down with their helmets. Let me offer my obeisances under his lotus feet. Srimad Bhagavatam 9.11.21. Is it mentioned, what is it before, in the cycles? Because Krishna appeared in the 28th, but Ramachandra was something like the 26th or 24th.
Yes,
right, so that's the point. Markandeya still, when he's talking to Yudhishthira, which was just now, he's talking about it. He's talking, that's, you know, many, many millions of years before. So Markandeya is still, you know, describing, because it's so wonderful. Having shown the aim of Rama's pastimes, the speaker gives proof of this. In the assemblies of kings like Yudhishthira, the sages such as Markandeya still praise his fame. What type of fame does he have? His fame is his ornament, like the cloth on the elephants who conquer, conquering, or just conquer all directions. Yeah. Oh, it's not like, you know, feared by fear personified. It's
like the conquerors.
He conquers the conquerors in all directions. That means his fame conquers all directions. I surrender to that Ram. How is he described? The crowns of the devatas, such as Indra and kings, and the kings and of the kings, touch his lotus feet. Text 32 and 33. Right. So Ramachandra, then you see, is mentioned like that. You don't hear about the devatas touching their crowns and that to Krishna's feet, because Ramachandra is very obvious. He takes the Kshatriya role, he plays everything very perfectly. He doesn't come there and steal the Parijata flower, you know, stuff like that. So they get bewildered. You know, it's just like he's in his natural position is that he's so far beyond, he can do what he likes. You know, so he has some fun. You know, it doesn't go outside of what can be done. His point is the Parijata is not supposed to leave heaven. Yes. But the point is that it actually went from heaven to Vaikuntha. You know, so it didn't go down, it went up. But Indra, unable to see this, but by the arrangement of Yoga Maya, he thinks it's going down to earth. So then he thinks this is, you know, it's unjust. It's against scripture. So that's why he's fighting. But it's not that, you know, he came to take it. It's a matter of that it's improper that it goes there, because Shastra says it won't go there. But it actually, he took it and took it to him. So then, like I said, they should feel pretty good that the stuff that the demigods have, you know, then that, you know, they don't mind having it in Vaikuntha either. So, you know, you got good stuff.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
If Lord Ram is establishing Dharma by playing a role of a perfect human, but everybody knows he's playing a role, is that very effective in establishing Dharma?
We're going to try something here. May not work at all. Okay? Generally, kind of in youth, people do this kind of. There was this archaic activity called reading, right?
Yes.
Not surfing, reading. Not that they didn't surf also, but they just, you know, but that would have been kind of like with a board or, you know, something else like that. Then, from reading the classics, you know, and stuff, then, or talking to people or hearing things or seeing dramas or these, they would see great qualities that people would be manifesting. And then from that, they would, you know, piece together their own kind of romantic idea of the world. Mm-hmm. Yes? And so their life would be based on that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Carburetors and classics.
Yeah, that's what we.
Okay.
See.
See.
CC. Yeah. Different CC.
Okay. Here's an explanatory verse. He appeared with a form for performing such pastimes, Lila Tanu, because his Sarup, Dhamma, should be understood to be without a superior or equal. His glory is far beyond all others. The suffix ya is added to sama to make samya with no change in meaning. There is no one equal to or superior to him. Nakapala refers to the devatas such as Indra, and Vasupa refers to the kings of the earth. Three verses explain the two Bhagavatam verses, verses 30 to 31. He appears but is not born. Because of his spiritual form, cannot be born. Vasupala means Vasuda, earth. Pala, protectors.
All right.
Yes.
Could you tell the actual tithi of the day that he was born? He gave a description of when he was born, but could you tell it what time?
Was it the page before that, or was this one?
What is it?
Hmm? 43. So the one here. I think that because the thing that you would have to, because here would be the point, you could probably establish it, because these other things would last for some time, but the moon moves so fast, so it being conjoined with Jupiter in the ascendant of Cancer, that would probably exactly put the time. You know, I think you would be able to get exact time off of that. And it could be because the moon in one day moves through the whole thing, all the zodiac signs, while all the other planets move much, much more slowly, like that. So, like that.
And some will be observing the Ramchandra's appearance at noon, and some say it should be at sunset.
Sunset, yes. That would be the thing. I can ask someone to try to calculate it. From what I understand, he appears at noon, because it seems there's a pattern that when there's a connection with the sun, noon is used. Like Radharani is connected with the sun, so then she appears at noon. You know, the Balaram or the Nrisingadev connect with the moon, so they appear then, Krishna then at midnight. But from what I get is that the time is noon, but because of his position, then the fasting is full, like Lord Chaitanya and Nrisingadev, but just not as much as Krishna. So then Nrisingadev, Ramachandra and Lord Chaitanya, then it's still sunset, but not that he appeared at sunset. He appeared, from what I've heard other scholars mention, at noontime, like that. But because of Ramachandra, then we say, you know, the moon appeared, and then him, the moon appeared.
Yes.
You know, from the womb of Kaikeyi, like this, like yes. that, or you know, or the moon appeared in Ayodhya. You know, they use the poetics, but it doesn't mean the moon was rising at that point. You know, not at least yes. not as the because it only rises at that time fully at sunset, so it must be there's some other aspect here. I'll try to check it though, but that's from what I get, because I think someone mentioned that, or showed a quote where Prabhupada mentions fasting till sunset. So that must be where that came from. But then the problem, the doubt came up because his appearance is at noon, like that. I think once in Vrindavan, it only happened once, but they worked out a compromise between the two parties and fasted until 3. So all parties were, you know, it worked. But I only remember it happening one year. But it would be good to check, especially because this gives all the details that you should be able to exactly calculate. Like that. So it'll be interesting. Okay. Here's an explanation. Oh, we did that one. Okay, so Vasupa means Vasupala. Right, so Vasupala becomes shortened. Vasudha, earth, and Pala, protectors.
So then it can be even more poetically. So mm-hmm. that's why it gives these. Because sometimes, here's a karika sort of saying that, but in the verses it doesn't. So that's why sometimes the commentaries are exactly the same, because the translator has already brought it into language we'd understand and leaving it in the original or stuff like that.
Yes.
The avatars Rama and his brothers are glorified in the Vishnu Dharmotra, respectively as forms of Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, and Prajumna. The position of Rama and his brothers are described here. Adi refers to Bharata and Shatrughna, the four members of the Chartavyuha. So in other words, he's saying here, Rama and his brothers, so Ramadi. So then it means like that. Adi refers to Bharata. The four members of the Chartavyuha are described in Vishnu Dharmotra as Rama, Lakshman, Bharata, and Shatrughna. In the Padma Purana, however, Lord Rama is described as Narayana, and Lakshman, Bharata, and Shatrughna is described respectively as Lakshman as Sesha, Bharata as the chakra, and Shatrughna as the conch. Another opinion is expressed in Padma Purana. This should be considered as the identity in a different kalpa. The dwelling place of, so any time that you have something that's directly some difference like that, it's just meaning different kalpas.
Yes.
You know, it's just like Mahabharata, then Parikit is building a palace, a fort, to protect himself, and in this time he's not. So these are just different kalpas.
Yes.
That's all. In other words, the pastime always goes on. It's just that this one is.
Is there any kind of system for how these variations go in the different kalpas? You have the same personalities and the same leelas, but slightly different.
Meaning
that one kalpa, Parikit, is building a fort to protect himself. I mean, is there a limit for how, or can he just pretty much be doing anything he wants?
I'm sure it has to fit within the mentality.
Yeah.
So there's already a set mood, so then there'll be the variety within those moods.
Okay.
You know, like going to Lanka this time, he used floated stone mountain tops.
Mm-hmm.
But in other time ages, he did it differently.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Yeah. You know, and then Jambavan is describing those different ways. I don't remember them.
Mm-hmm.
But he was telling about how, because he always goes to Lanka to kill Ravana. You know, but the point is this time he did it differently.
Yeah.
You know, so he was getting into the difference. You know.
So there are some principles within the Leela that are.
Oh, it's just like this. Let's say, is there variety in Italian cooking?
Yes.
But it's still Italian, right? So there's a variety in Bengali or in Gujarati or Chinese. So there's principles on which it functions that identifies in that way. As long as it stays within that, then it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
No, does that make sense? Yeah. But you see, like this, you wouldn't take, let's say, a bun, put refried beans inside, and then sprinkle the top with mustard oil, and then call it Bengali.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, you might not call it Mexican. You might not call it anything.
I might not do it.
Would we consider mood also to be different? Like in the example of Parikshit, being, you know, here is a pure devotee and they are building a fort trying to escape.
Yeah, yes. But generally it appears from what the Acharyas are talking about, when Swayam Krishna appears, there's a different kind of whole set of things happening. Because Vyasa is a Vishnu Tattva, you know, then that's followed by the Kali Yuga avatar is Krishna himself, as opposed to an Avesha avatar. You know, so you're having certain things happen differently. So it appears that also then here the Bhagavatam is spoken. And then so it appears that it works in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 36. The dwelling place of Rama is situated in Madhya Desha, in the city of Ayodhya, and also in Mahavaikuntha. This describes the abode of these four forms. The word Asya indicates Rama, his brothers and followers. Though the statements Ete Chamsa Kala, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.28, shows Rama and Nrisimha as amsas of Krishna, by the above statements, the idea that they are amsas should be dismissed.
Yes.
So it's not that they're amshas, it's just that they're full, but they're not, they're just manifesting a particular uniqueness within the fullness.
Mm. Yes.
Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Mm. How this statement shows that?
No, he's just making that in the commentary, because now this is at the end of the whole thing. So it's a conclusion, so it's not specifically this one. He's saying that the Ete Chamsa Kala, then that they're amshas, so they're not amshas like, as vilas, they're actually they're paravasta, but they may not manifest all the same particular qualities or like that, but that they have that aspect of having the 64 qualities. So they could do, but they just don't, because they're already doing. Krishna's already doing that there. So to taste these other aspects, then he has these other forms. Does that make sense? You know, it's like Balaram is full, but then there's a different kind of flavor. You know, it's like with Balaram, it's either avidhut or follow the rules. You know, so then, you know, so Krishna's not avidhut, because avidhut is definitely not attractive to the girls. And not too much into the rules, otherwise it limits the dealings with the girls. What limit intensity you can take. Because if you follow the rules, you can't go farther than Swakia.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right? And if you're, how you say, a recommendation is stick to one wife. Right? Like that. Otherwise, you know, how do you fit in everything? Like that. So then, but here we see Krishna doesn't fully follow the rules there, at the same time he's not a novitude. So that's he's the natural doctor. So it's Balaram, then he takes these other sides. And then, does that make sense? And then Ramachandra, same kind of thing, bring out that Dharma more, that element of separation. Does that make sense?
Why do we have statements that show Rama and Nrisimha as amsas of Krishna? We should dismiss them.
I think what it's meaning here is the amsas means that Krishna is first. Mm. And these are other paravasta, you know, expansions that way. So they're not amsha in the way of vilas or slosa.
Yeah. Just compared to Krishna.
Yes, like that.
Okay.
Isn't it they're not expanded from Prabhupada Vishnu in this universe?
Okay. So that's the meaning here. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Krishna. Bilva Mangal describes Krishna. There may be many avatars of Krishna delivering auspiciousness everywhere, but other than Krishna, who gives prema even to the creepers? Now begins an explanation of Krishna's paravasta. So that kind of takes up the rest of the 500 verses.
Yeah.
Okay. So everybody else went through fairly quick. Now begins the explanation of Krishna's paravasta. Though it is said in the Ramayana that the trees and other plants wept when Rama went to the forest, they wept out of sorrow on separating from Rama on one occasion. Whereas the reaction of the trees in relation to Krishna, however, is daily, even on meeting Krishna. This is understood from the following verses. Dear Krishna, that woman, what woman in all the three worlds wouldn't deviate from religious behavior when bewildered by the sweet, drawn-out melody of your flute? Your beauty makes all three worlds auspicious. Indeed, even the cows, birds, trees, and deer manifest the ecstatic symptoms of bodily hair standing on end when they see your beautiful form. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:29-40. So this means every time they see So it's that point was when he was there in the forest, and then when he left, you know, then the trees and that. But you only hear of it one time. You know, so it's established that that mood is there. But with Krishna, that's daily. The creepers and trees of the forest, their branches weighed down by rich coverings of flowers and fruits, seem to manifest Lord Vishnu within their hearts. Exhibiting eruptions of ecstatic love upon their bodies, they poured down rains of honey. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:35-9. The associates of Krishna, during prolonged separation from him, remained in existence with only the beauty of Krishna constantly on their minds. This shows his superiority to Rama. Statements such as the following show Krishna's supreme position. Right, so in other words, there's great power is shown, great opulence, but you see even more. Mm-hmm. So we see that sweetness is shown with Ramachandra, but even more with Krishna. Mm-hmm. Right? So in other words, the sweetness that's shown with Ramachandra, Krishna's showing the same, but constantly. Mm-hmm. While Ramachandra, it's yes. You know, this one incident or that one incident. Yes. Does that make sense? So the sweetness is there, but it's you know, it's just like, let's say, once a year you have, you know, a sweet after lunch, or the other alternative yes. menu is a sweet every day. So, which is sweeter?
Second.
Yeah, but the other one, lunch can have sweet, you know what I'm saying?
I was just wondering why is that the outstanding quality of Ram?
It means for Ram Bhaktas, and it will always be. But the point is, it sees, if someone does something according to religious principles because they want to, then it has its own particular sweetness, its own taste. But it's not as sweet as the Braj pastimes. You know what I'm saying? But the medium that's being given there is the maryada, the following the rules. So that's giving the taste. So within that, then the taste of tasting that is sweetness. Is that?
Yeah, we just call it dharmic or something.
No, but that, it's not that it's just dharmic, it's the rasa of that whole tasting the dharma. So there's a sweetness there. Right? Because you're following Krishna's rules. Right? So Krishna always speaks and acts according to them. So it has its sweetness there, because they're coming from the origin of sweetness. But it's just, because you even see in these Vaikuntha prayers, you know, there's that one, you know, it's a very famous one, who made it. It's all Madhuram.
Yes.
So, you know, his face is sweet, his yes. walk is sweet, yes. his dress is sweet, Madhuram, Madhuram, yes. Madhuram.
Adhuram, Madhuram.
Yeah, something pate.
Yeah, aduri pate.
Yeah, like this is. But they're talking about Vishnu.
Yeah.
So there's a sweetness there, they find. But it'll be greater in Ramachandra. So those who are appreciate that sweetness but are more into that than even in Vaikuntha, then they worship Rama. But they'll even think Rama is coming from Vishnu. So it's the same principle. Yeah. But those who are into the most sweet, then they'll worship Krishna. So it's there. So it's sweetness is not a problem. It's just the volume of it. So we're talking about the volume here. Just like the Sringadev is, you know, manifesting great power, but Ramachandra is showing so much more opulence. So it's just like, you know, it's just like, or you know, the perfect, more perfect, most perfect. You know, it's like unlimited and even more unlimited and even more than that unlimited. You know, so. Is that so? It's not about measuring; it's just about showing the intensity, the fullness. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Maharaj, every devotee has a different. He has his own mood, and he expresses with his own Lord.
Yes. Yes.
And so we cannot compare so much.
No, when we're dealing with these other sampradayas and that, we don't make a. Position. So for us, it's not about saying this is superior.
Yes,
it's
yes.
just a matter of we're just showing the positions yes, yes. of everybody, and then it's a matter of taste. You know, yes. it's just like even in Braj, what is the taste? What's the rasa? How one wants to serve the Lord?
That we don't have an opinion.
Yes.
It's just we're given this opportunity and those who are interested in it. In other words, the mission of Lord Chaitanya will situate anywhere, in anyone, anywhere in the spiritual world.
Yes.
It's going to be the fastest and quickest way to get there. So even if you want to go to Vaikuntha, it's the quickest way. So if the Sri Vaishnavas did what we did, they'd get to where they want to go quicker. Like that. It's just the efficient way. But then specifically, we see Golok. And within Golok, then Vrindavan, right? And then Vrindavan, then Braj,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then Braj, then what's being offered is one can follow Rupa Goswami, right? And so then one can situate oneself in that way. But the point is, because you're dealing with that process that can take you to the topmost, why can't it get you anywhere else? You know, if the bus is going to Calcutta, it can also drop you at Runagat or Krishnagar.
Yes.
You know, so it's... That's the whole point, is that this mission is something unique and special, and everybody can take advantage and everybody can get benefit.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's just like if you go to, let's see, you know, a proper practicing, you know, say Sri Vaishnav temple, then there's a regular kirtan going on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very specific, it's kind of like here is this service of the day. Rather than it's the overall process. You know, so just that we do it more. Does that make sense? Okay. The associates of Krishna, during prolonged separation from him, remained in existence with only the beauty of Krishna constantly in their minds. This shows his superiority to Ram. Statements such as the following show Krishna's supreme position. What austerities must the gopis have performed? With their eyes they are always drink the nectar of Lord Krishna's form, which is the essence of loveliness, and is not to be equaled or surpassed. That loveliness is the only abode of beauty, fame, and opulence. It is self-perfect, ever-fresh, and extremely rare. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:44-14. The word Pushkara Nabhasya usually refers to the Purusha avatar with a lotus growing from his navel. The Purusha avatar is the source of the other avatars. This is the conventional meaning. However, it also refers to Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, who has a lotus-like navel. Swayam Bhagavan, who is the source of Purusha avatars, and who became visible in this world to Bilvamangal Thakur. Yeah, because you even have that element where Sita wanted to know about this. You know, she had heard about this form, so she wanted to see.
Yeah.
So Ramachandra took his arrow and carved in a rock the form of the deity. I'm not sure which deity it is. It's one of the deities that's worshipped. Mm-hmm. You know which deity it is? Where the deity is situated? Unless it's... I know it's one of the deities in India. I can't say for sure. But he's only a relief. He's not a full deity. Krishna is the son of Devaki, an ocean of unprecedented sweetness and power, whose abodes are well known as Vraja, Mathura, Dwarka, and Goloka in the Puranas, will be described subsequently. The word Devaki Nandana here has a double meaning. Son of Nanda, and son of Vasudev.
Mm-hmm.
The sweetness of the son of Nanda is most prominent because in that form, Krishna exclusively plays the role of a human being. As the son of Vasudev, the powers are most prominent because Krishna at that time performs pastimes predominantly as the Supreme Lord. The son of Vasudev displays pastimes filled with power and ornamented with sweetness. It is like a beautiful mirror with some specks on the undercoating. The son of Nanda displays pastimes filled with sweetness and decorated with power. It is like a mirror whose back surface is covered with flawless quicksilver and therefore perfectly reflecting.
Though both are wonderful, the superiority of the son of Nanda is revealed in this example, right? Yeah, so one, you're talking about a really, really elegant mirror, you know, the, how it's designed and everything. Mm-hmm. But in the reflective part, then there is some speckles, you know, because sometimes they're not there, so it doesn't reflect as perfectly. Mm. But this other, it's not about the mirror itself, it's just about its reflective ability is so much greater. Mm-hmm. It's just so perfect. Mm-hmm. Right? Though both, okay, paricharishyate means will be described. The meaning of the rest is clear. The word eva is used once, but should be understood to follow each place, since the four places are taken together, like a fistful of items. 32. This is called pana purana nyaya, the example of the fistful. Though the fist may hold many items, we can think of the whole as one item. Thus the word eva does not apply to the last item alone, but to the whole group. In other words, they're all one group, but at the same time, each one will be described. Like that. Got a new trick. Oops.
Oh, it's 5 o'clock.
Okay. Good, worked. So, we'll end here. Stop. Okay. Oh, the last point. It does not indicate that Goloka is superior to Raja.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Vita Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Srila Vita Gaurabhinoda
ki jai. It gets sweeter.
Yes,
isn't it?
So you're saying that the tikka is now more on the repetition side than the torture side.
I think so. That is not saying too much.